You can be opening your Bibles up to the 13th Psalm. We're going to continue to talk about the Psalms. Many of you have probably seen the musical Fiddler on the Roof. It's a great tale about life, about tradition, about religion, about humankind, the ups and downs of life. At one moment in the musical, there is a song that's sang, and it is around the time that a wedding is taking place. And so many of us probably know these lyrics very well. This is the chorus to the particular song that I'm talking about right now. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the days. Seedlings turn overnight to sunflowers, blossoming even as we gaze. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly fly the years, one season following another, laden with happiness and tears. And such is the rhythm of life. And part of it, Tevi and the chorus sings, is that life is laden both with happiness and tears. In many ways, it would be nice if life was all happiness, but we all know that that's not the case. We've all lived life. We've all experienced different things. And so life is full of happiness and tears. Psalm 13 is a lament psalm. One of my professors, when I was at Oklahoma Christian University, was an Old Testament scholar, and he really appreciated the Psalms. As a matter of fact, he just recently wrote a book on the lament Psalms. One of the points that he made over and over again was that in our churches, if you notice the hymns that we sing, they're always, they're most often very happy songs, praise songs, we'd say. And those are important. It's good for us to praise God for all the good things in life. But his observation was that not only do we sing all these happy songs, a very small percentage of what the songs that we sing are lament songs. Now, that kind of sounds like it'd be a downer to show up on a Sunday to worship and sing lament-type songs. However, if, like we mentioned last week, the Psalms are the hymnal of the Jewish faith, then we notice that laments play a very important role in their communication with God in these prayers and songs. And so many of the Psalms, a very large percentage of the Psalms, are actually lament Psalms, like Psalm 13 that we're going to look at tonight. And I think, hopefully, by the end of our lesson tonight, we'll see that there is great value in laments. As a matter of fact, we have entire books of the Bible that are all about lament. You think of Lamentations, right? So the whole book is what we might call a complaint to God. And that word complaint or complain is kind of a dirty word. But as we look at Psalm 13 tonight, we'll see that there is a place for complaint to God. We know about the hurt and pain in our world. As we've watched the news, we see what's taking place over in Russia and Ukraine right now with that downed flight. We know about health problems. Maybe we are experiencing health problems. Maybe it's somebody that we know that's experiencing health problems. We've had some friends that have struggled. Sarah and I have had friends that have struggled with having a baby. They wanted to have a child so badly, but for whatever reason, they weren't able to have one. We know about different natural disasters that take place in our world on a regular basis. I guess the most recent was the Philippines being hit with another storm. It seems like every time you turn around, the Philippines are being hit by a storm. We know about broken marriages. I'm sure all of us have been impacted one way or another by marriages that have ended in divorce, or at least there was deep struggle in these marriages that we probably all know about. And so, as we look around our world, as we just take in our surroundings, we know that there are hurt people. We may be the people that are hurting. We know that there are struggles that people face. We know that even as we are sitting in this room right now talking about lament psalms, we know that there are people, faithful people, even that are hurting, are depressed, are struggling for whatever reason. And so a question that I would like to sort of start off with tonight is simply this: what are the faithful to do in the face of struggle? Very simple question. What are the faithful to do in the face of struggle? Hopefully, as we work through this evening's lesson, we'll see that what we read about in Psalm 13 can help us reflect and process on that question. What are the faithful to do in the face of struggle? So let's go ahead and read this psalm. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. There's a lament psalm, Psalm 13. In verses 1 and 2, there's a series of questions that the psalmist asks God. He says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? If you were to take a moment to look through the Psalms, one thing that you'll see is most of the time, there is a word of praise that begins the Psalm. There is some sort of word that reflects the glory of God, similar pleasantry, we might say. In this Psalm, there is none of that. There's no, oh God, Creator, the one of mercy and love, or something like that. No, this one just starts, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? So that's how this one starts. Of course, these questions describe a situation of turmoil. We might even say the person is in a situation of disorientation. That's the word that Walter Brueggemann uses for this. Things aren't right in the psalmist's life at this point. One of the reasons that the psalmist, as the psalmist interprets their own situations, one of the reasons that things aren't right at this point is because God is absent in the situation. God is absent in the turmoil. He says, will you forget me forever? God, remember, I'm your child. You created me. You've forgotten me. Also, the psalmist says, God, you've hidden your face from me. Do you not see what I'm going through right now, God? The psalmist then asks another series of questions. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? The psalmist in this questioning demonstrates that he feels a great deal of sorrow and pain, and God needs to know about it. God, I'm hurting. God, the enemies, they're triumphing. And, well, that's a hard word to say. I'm going to try that again. They're being victorious over me. We'll try that out. Then note that. Don't say that word anymore. The stubborn part of me right now, just this is a side note, the stubborn part wants to try that word again, but I'm like, no, we need to move on. So the psalmist takes these issues, takes this turmoil to God. But the way that he does it is in the context of questioning. How long, God? Will you forget me forever? I believe in the way that the psalmist addresses God, there is a lot of faith in this. As a matter of fact, this psalmist demonstrates a very orthodox understanding of God. God can do anything that God wants. So, because this psalmist has lived a faithful life to God and life hasn't turned out in the way that the psalmist believes it should, he thinks, I know who I'll talk to about this. I'm not going to talk to my parents. I'm not going to talk to my friends. I've lived a faithful life. At least that's what we're going to, in this moment, we're going to just believe that. The psalmist has lived a faithful life, and he says, God, I've done my side of this agreement. Are you not going to do your side of the agreement? Are you not going to keep your side of the agreement? The psalmist demonstrates great faith in this. God, why aren't you doing something? Again, I'm your child. I'm your faithful child. God, can't you see the hurt that I'm facing right now, the struggles that I'm facing at this moment? The questioning demonstrates faith. Verses 3 and 4, the psalmist continues, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fail. There's a petition now. The psalmist tells the creator of the world, tells God, answer me. Give light to my eyes, or I will die. The psalmist, again demonstrating faith, understands that the only hope is for God to act. That's all he's got left. Then he gives the motivation, the reason why God should answer. Again, this is we almost think this is too forward on the part of the psalmist here. But he says, God, you should act. You should answer me. You should respond to what I'm saying to you. Because if not, do you know that the enemy will say, I have overcome him? Do you know that if you don't respond to this predicament of mine, that the foes are going to rejoice over me, a person who has kept your covenants? The psalmist here, this is incredible what he does. He makes his problem God's problem. He says, God, not only is my reputation on the line, much more importantly in this situation, your reputation is on the line. And God, what are you going to do about your own reputation? If God's person, God's child is ridiculed, who else is ridiculed? Yahweh, God Himself. Continuing on, verses 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. So you're just driving down, let's say, 183 north. You're just cruising along, and boom, the psalmist slams on the brakes and just whips a U-turn and comes 183 south. What's going on here? He goes from complaint to now hopeful trust and praise. Did time pass? Was the first part of the psalm written at one point in time? And now, after God has responded, does the psalmist come back with praise? We really don't know. But we do see a lot of hope and trust in what the psalmist proclaims to God. He says, I will trust in your unfailing love. We've talked about that word, unfailing love, already. That is that word, hesed, we've talked about. This is covenant love. It's steadfast love. It is a love that is deeply rooted in the love that God has for His people. He says, my heart rejoices. And then he says, I will sing the Lord's praises forever. I will cry out to God, for He has been good to me. So what has motivated the psalmist to say these hopeful words after crying out this complaint to God? What has taken place? We don't know. Something good has happened, or within the psalmist's own heart, there was, maybe upon reflection, there was a recognition of the one who he was talking to, understanding that God can act. God will act faithfully toward His people. We don't know what took place, but we do know with absolute certainty that this psalmist demonstrated faith in the complaint and faith in the praise. So just a few observations here that I think are important to remember. Especially when we're talking about laments. The first is, even in this struggle, the psalmist prayed. He turned his attention to God. That's why over and over again I said that he is demonstrating faith, even when he is questioning God, saying, how long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? Are you going to hide your face from me? Even in that, at least the psalmist turned toward God. Maybe the greatest demonstration of faith in the face of struggle is just to cry out honestly to God about our thoughts, about our life. And the second one, similar to it, is the psalmist was honest with God. There was no sugarcoating this prayer. There was no, oh, God, you are so wonderful. I love you. Your ways are perfect. You are honorable above all else. Those are all right? That's all good. But that's not what we see in this psalm. It's how long, Lord? Are you going to hide your face from me? Do you not know that in this struggle, the foes and the enemies are going to gloat? Father, Lord, what are you doing in this? He laid it on the line. Sometimes honesty with God demonstrates the greatest amount of faith. I love what I've already mentioned Walter Brueggemann. I want to read this. This is a long quote, but he says it a whole lot better than I could ever say it. So this is an excellent paragraph on the laments. Listen to what Walter Brueggemann has said. The use of the Psalms of Darkness, this is what he refers to Psalm 13 as, may be judged by the world to be acts of unfaith and failure, but for the trusting community, their use is an act of bold faith, albeit a transformed faith. It is an act of bold faith on the one hand because it insists that the world must be experienced as it really is and not in some pretended way. On the other hand, it is bold because it insists that all such experiences of disorder are a proper subject for discourse with God. There is nothing out of bounds, nothing precluded or inappropriate. Everything properly belongs in this conversation of the heart. To withhold parts of life from the conversation is, in fact, to withhold part of life from the sovereignty of God. Thus, these psalms make the important connection. Everything must be brought to speech, and everything brought to speech must be addressed to God, who is the final reference for all of life. I think Brueggemann really hits at the heart of it. It's a demonstration of faith. It is an understanding that everything is under the sovereignty of God. He knows all. He sees all. He is in control of all. The psalmist demonstrates that understanding. The psalmist also the psalmist reminded God that God's reputation is on the line. Now, if we're going to do something like that, if we're going to pray something like that, I think we would first have to take a serious inventory of our own lives. If we are going to say, God, your reputation is on the line, so you better act justly and fairly in this situation, I think we would have it would serve us very well to be thinking about, okay, what kind of life am I living in the first place? If I believe that God's reputation is on the line with my situation in my life, then that would inform every decision that we make. That would inform our interaction with other people. That would inform how we live. And so this psalmist, when he prays this lament to God, it's apparent that this psalmist is living a faithful life to God. If he is going to have the audacity to say this to God, it's saying something about his own life. This is the prayer of one who is bent on advancing God's good reputation in the first place. And then fourth, when good comes, God is to be given the credit. Again, we don't know what the good was. We don't know when exactly it happened. But this psalmist does a 180 and offers this word of trust and hope. He says, God, you are good. You are faithful. I will praise you. He gives God the credit for the good. And I think in our own lives, a lot of times we do experience all these troubles and we pray. As a matter of fact, our prayer life is sometimes at its strongest in those valleys. However, where we miss it, I believe, and this is important, is once we come out of that valley, to give God the credit for getting us out of the valley. I think that is so very important, and that is an aspect of prayer that we miss so often. God, thank you. We will glorify you. We will honor you. We will tell of your good deeds in getting us from this point to this point. The psalmist praises God for the good that has come in his life. So that's Psalm 13. In closing, I'd just like to say that there are all kinds of laments in the Psalms. I would encourage you to spend time reading the Psalms. You might be in, this might be the greatest moment of your life, the greatest year of your life, the greatest week of your life, whatever the case may be. However, because life is full of happiness and tears, there may be that time where you're in a valley. And in those times, it'd be good, wouldn't it, to have the words to say, to know where to find that encouragement. I believe by becoming schooled in the Psalms, even in those valleys, we will have a good blueprint of what we can say to God that demonstrates great faith. That's what we see in the Psalms. Ron's going to lead us in a song, and as we always do, want to offer an invitation. If you need the prayers, this group here would be so glad to pray with you. If there's anybody that is desiring to be baptized, you can do that tonight too. So let's go ahead and stand and sing.